Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on 9/23/2014 as we wrap up another month.
Wrapping it up. My son's birthday is going to be 19 years old on the 25th. Brett, happy birthday. Not that he's listening, nor any of my kids, my wife, or anybody that I know.
No, the family never listens to anything I do.
Yeah, nor read my books, nothing.
It's they say, oh, yeah, we hear this at the dinner table. Why should we listen to a show? Yeah,
well, they don't even let me talk about it at the dinner table.
Well, there you go.
Well, there's a lot going on, man. There's 3 days the markets have been down the last few days. Looks as though there's a big sell the news going on. Last week was options expiration, and on Friday it was quadruple witching, meaning that all the options that were out there, sometimes it's a triple witching, they all came due at the same day. Enormous volume. And there was a kind of a last-minute surge. It didn't look like there was going to be a good day last Friday, but then it kind of was okay. It was down, though. Yellen spoke last week, and also we saw that the ECB spoke and did some things. But what was interesting was that volume is picking up across the board as expected as traders get back from their vacations. We talked about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the last couple of days were pretty bad. It seems a lot worse than it is because individual stocks get hit a lot harder. But the S&P is only down, I think, I don't know, 1%, 1.5%. The small caps hit what's called a death cross, with a 50-day moving average cross below the 200. What does that mean? There's the golden cross and a death cross. This is this is one of the technical indicators.
Is this like the bear flag you had? Remember that a couple years ago, that flag that didn't do anything?
Right. No, that isn't as – there's some things out there that could be showing a very significant move, potentially flag moves and other ascending triangles and things. This is one of those common ones. You know, the 50-day moving average, the 200-day moving average are very, very common. Even if you don't use technical analysis, it's like one of those basic things. And when the 50-day crosses the 200, it means that the momentum is moving out very dramatically out of that particular sector. And when it crosses, sometimes it is a signal for money managers, even if they don't use a lot of technicals, to exit that position. So that happened in the small caps recently.
And this small caps.
And this is all, by the way, this is all on the heels of an enormous run of the U.S. dollar. The dollar is down for the 11th week, I think. The yen is up about 7% in the last 8 weeks. Yen is down, lower, weaker. The euro keeps on going lower as well. This has been affecting gold, silver, commodities, and now it's starting to affect stocks. And I'll talk about that in a second. I have a list of some of the stocks that may be...
The euro is down to $1.28.5, and that means that my prediction that it'll go below $1.25 may come true.
Yeah, but it didn't come true due to the fact that the euro should be weaker. It's artificial pushing by the ECB and Draghi. It's all his efforts to revitalize the economy and bring down the euro. And on top of that, it's also because the dollar is moving up. Remember, currencies are always in pairs. There's no such thing as just the euro. When you talk about the euro at 128.5, it's against the dollar. For example, the euro against the yen. There's euro against, you know, whatever, the Chinese yuan, whatever it may be. It's always
a pair.
The
dollar and the yen is 108. That's outrageous.
Yeah, it was 109 earlier.
And also, I think the other number we have to look at is crude oil down to 91.80 or 91.60.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
We missed that.
Yeah. It was because it was going up forever and just all of a sudden started dropping and then, boop, just moved
lower.
It's
kind of dropping in a very sneaky way.
Yeah.
It's sneak dropping.
And the question is, with that, is it because the oversupply or lack of demand? Is it because that the U.S. is supplying so much oil? And, you know, we're bombing Syria today, and you would think under normal circumstances, you know, Middle East problems always pushes crude oil prices up, right? It's not even happening at all.
No, it's going – it's not – no. No, all it's doing is pushing gold down.
Pushing gold, exactly.
Which makes no sense either.
Well, the only thing that makes sense about it is because the dollar is rising and gold is priced in dollars. And I think we talked about the fact that I have a suspicion that it's possible that a big country like Russia, for example, is selling off their massive stockpiles of gold and silver because they're being squeezed out of the rest of the markets. Liquidity is terrible. All the sanctions that are in play right now are really problematic for them, and they need to do something to liquefy their assets. So maybe they're just coming to the market and just banging it out because there's been a persistent sell going on.
I don't know why Russia doesn't pull some stunts to manipulate the market so they can buy and sell massive amounts of high cap stocks that could actually feed the coffers. You know what I mean by this?
Yeah, no, we talked about this. Remember when we said that Putin said that, we're going to go after Ukraine, we're invading and all that, and then the markets dropped. But the thing is, markets have a very, very small memory, very short term. So you see that the markets, we dropped because of Russia, and this happened 3 or 4 times. Now who cares anymore? It's not happening here. Who cares? But with all the sanctions, there's going to be a boomerang effect because all the sanctions, as we impose them, and the greater they get, it will eventually affect us. It affects Europe a lot more, but it will affect us. It has to.
Yeah.
I think it has to.
I don't think they're very effective.
They pretty much seized up the entire financial system in Russia. Let's look at this. Let's look at the Russian
stock. I don't know why Russia can't just do what they want to do and just trade with China. I mean, it would keep them going and their other partners.
Well, they talked about this last week in that one of the things they talked about was they're trying once again to usurp the whole use of the dollar to settle transactions and to use it as the common currency and saying, hey, we don't need the dollar. Let's get out of it and let's go and look at, you know, trading and settling in local currencies.
Yeah, well, that
am I boring you?
No, I don't know why you had the yawn there. Sorry, I didn't get enough sleep.
Let's look at the Russian stock market.
Well, whatever. Oh, thanks.
The Russian stock market. We can look at the RSX. Now, this combines the fact that there is currency involved here. It was up 1% today. This RSX, but it's come down from in July at a high of 27 down to 23. So that's what? That's $4 on 23. It's like 15%. That's pretty significant. It was as high as 30 at the beginning of the year, and 23 is $7. That's a pretty good chunk there, don't you think? I mean, seriously, that's a pretty big move. And it did pick up again in the middle of April, but it's starting to return down low and hitting support here. So I'd watch the RSX. I don't think there's anything good happening there. But I want to talk about a couple other things. Think, for example, Home Depot. You know, this data breach is now said to be bigger than Target's. Mm-hmm. And just tonight they're reporting that, hey, yep, there are fraudulent transactions that we are finding, which, of course, that would be the whole point of the data breach, right?
Yep.
And so I don't know if they're buying, you know, paintbrushes or what they're doing here. But there's all sorts of fraudulent transactions that are going on. Now, I've been shopping at Home Depot a lot. They will not touch your credit card anymore over the last 2 weeks. They won't touch it. You have to swipe it yourself and just show them stuff. I mean, yes, when you show it to them for ID, but they will not swipe it.
Why?
I don't know, but they're telling me it's a new rule.
The data breach was back-end problems. It wasn't because some clerk was stealing a million credit cards. What are they thinking?
I think they're going to palm it.
That tells me they're idiots.
They're going to palm the credit card somehow and maybe do an imprint on their hand. Yeah, by the millions, right. And somehow do a – they have a – inside their hand, they have some kind of a scanner. They can do both sides, by the way, and get the CCD number or whatever that number is on the back and the front all at the same time.
Yeah. So that's actually quite interesting because that really tells me that Home Depot are idiots.
Well,
because this is not a problem some cashier has swiped a few credit cards. This is a back end computer issue that has nothing to do with anybody working at the place.
And the problem is it's not just Home Depot cards, right? It's every credit card or every piece of data they have.
Right.
So why is Home Depot, you know, when you charge something on the internet, right, there's a secure socket layer, there's a SSL that goes through and a secure thing that it's encrypted. It goes right to, let's say, the credit card company, right? It should bypass in a lot of cases the store itself, right? Unless you store your credit card there and stuff. How come it's not the same at a Home Depot? Why is it that the...
I don't think that was what we're dealing with. I think we're dealing with stored cards, and it's a database of stored cards database that was in the cloud or someplace that somebody hacked in through administrative privilege somewhere, found it, and just took it.
Interesting. Well, I don't know what this is going to be, but we'll get to it in a moment. This is something that is on the tip of my mind when I sat down about 2 or 3 weeks ago and started just free thinking about, okay, what could be the next reason why the market crashes? Because, you know, look back at long-term capital management years ago, look at the whole housing market, banking, look at the tech boom and bust. And I mean, what could be a catalyst? I started thinking. I'm like, oh, well, could it be overvaluation of the markets? Market's not going to crash on valuation,
yeah,
right?
Nope.
Could it be, you know, the Fed, as we talked about, the Fed overdoing it? Yeah, it's possible, right?
But no.
That's kind of obvious. You talked about that. I'm thinking it could be the cloud. It could be this whole identity theft. It could be a massive breakdown of the cloud because now everything's going cloud, right? And I'm thinking like Skynet and the Terminator. Seriously, I'm thinking that, you know, the cloud has become so big, so predominant. Everybody's, you know, offloading their stuff to Dropbox or to Box or wherever they're doing it. You use your credit card constantly to pay for things on the internet and all that. And what happens if this breach at Home Depot and Target and all these other things starts to all of a sudden get really a concerning factor with consumers? Now, I don't think consumers will necessarily go back to cash, but what if somehow this all breaks down and maybe a data breach turns into a much bigger situation in that it becomes a shutdown of the internet? I know that sounds ridiculous, but something like that. I wonder if
the big one, big quake we're always talking about. That's when when Facebook is compromised.
Oh, as it, yeah, well.
That's the biggest cache of credit card numbers, personal information, and everything in between.
Well, what do people put their credit card number on for Facebook?
They buy stuff or Facebook, I don't know. I bet you Facebook's got credit card numbers.
Well, I got to tell you something. I just think this could be. Just keep this in the back of your mind.
Amazon's another one that'd be a whopper.
A whopper. Because they have multiple credit cards of mine. They have like every credit card I've ever had. They store them and you can just choose which one you're using. But I would say that just everybody should keep this in the back of your minds. Just something to think about. Not now, because it's going to take some time to really get to the point of being a problem. But, you know, when some people start, hey, you know what? The cloud is not as secure as you think. And, you know, we're easily passing along data in all sorts of methods. I'm just thinking there could be a problem there.
How about compromising MasterCard itself?
Yeah.
Skip these retail outlets.
Yeah, just why would you hit those? I mean, obviously, this is one of the reasons that I like the stock called FireEye and Palo Alto Networks, Symantec, a few of those. And I kind of looked at them as a place to invest, and I've been in and out of those. And they've been good and bad. FireEye just came out with a new package where it seems like it's watered down, but it's
What's the name of this company?
FireEye, F-E-Y-E.
Oh, FireEye, right, yeah. Right. We've talked about them before.
Yep. So that's one of the reasons I kind of picked them up. Anyway, let's talk about some tech. iPhone 6, have you seen it? Have you touched it? Have you felt it?
Oh, yeah. I've taken pictures with it. I've handled the big one, the big whopper, the 6 Plus.
You need like a wide-angle lens for that.
Plus-size women.
It's enormous.
Well, it's no bigger than a Note.
It's still enormous coming from an iPhone. I have an iPhone 4S. And a buddy of mine had an iPhone 4S, and he was waiting for the 6, and he got the 6, and it is – I can't get my thumb to the top. I use, you know, one hand typing and
– Is that the big one or the little 6?
The little one.
Oh, well, the little one's pretty big too, yes.
And he's having all sorts of trouble.
But I don't think it's that big.
He's having trouble. I think that – Good. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm just saying – go on.
I was saying he's having trouble with this. Now, we know about the fact that Gmail pushed. There was an integration with Gmail and ActiveSync or this Active Server with Microsoft, and they cut that all off about a year and a half ago. Whereas you can use the Exchange Server settings through the iPhone, and it would, as soon as you got your Gmail, it would hit your phone. It was like the BlackBerry. And that went away. I never used it. I was okay with just checking every once in a while. But he was not. He got his email to this day. He got, for whatever reason, even though it was shut down, somehow he got his email immediately. And when he went to the iPhone 6, two things happened. For whatever reason, and I haven't sat down and looked at it with him, He can't. He backed up everything on the iPhone 4, and he cannot get it all to come back to the iPhone 6. Like, none of his programs are there. The apps are not. He has to download them one at a time.
Huh.
That's first of all. Second of all, he can't get the Gmail push. So he's all pissed off about this. You know, you have to use the regular Gmail, which is on fetch, which the minimum fetch is 15 minutes. You know, you can't keep on checking this thing. There are workarounds, but if anybody knows of anything other than these crazy workarounds with iCloud or your Apple account, where you have to rework it all through your, you have to forward everything to your Apple account, and then they can push from there. Sucks.
Huh. I never heard this.
Yeah, no, Google definitely pulled the Exchange server integration. You can look
Google.
It up. Yeah, Google Gmail. You can look it up and say Gmail push, like ActiveSync or push, whatever it was, Exchange removed. About in 2013, I think, late 2012.
Well, I know they're having a beef, the two companies. Yeah. And they changed the Google search to Bing.
Oh, who, Apple did?
Yeah.
You could change it back, though.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I don't use it. Probably could, but the default, you know, most people never change the defaults, let's face it.
I don't like Bing. I'm sorry. I just don't.
I've been using Bing a little more recently, and it's not as bad as you. It's improved quite a bit.
Yeah.
Check it. Just use it once a week.
A lot more pictures and stuff like that. I was on MSNBC today. Have you been on that site lately? It's giant pictures everywhere.
Oh, no, that's the new look.
Oh.
There's actually a name for this look, and I can't never remember what it is. It was first initiated, but I think it started with Pinterest and that layout. And then there's the other layout, which is the one that you're talking. I bet you. Let me look at it.
There's enormous pictures.
There's a name for this layout. I just can't remember the name of it. Yeah, I know the
magazine style or something.
No, it's called something. It's got a specific name, and it's the same similar to if you go to USA Today, you run into something similar.
It's gigantic.
This is MSNBC?
Yeah, MSNBC. You see it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
It's all giant pictures.
Imminent threat. U.S. strikes target shadowy terror group. Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side, you can click, and I guess it goes right to it. I mean, the fonts are nice and all that, but it's gigantic pictures. Gigantic. Yeah. It's like for blind people. It's like I want to reduce the size of everything on my computer.
Yeah, they're huge. These pictures are too big.
And you can only see like one story at a time.
And I like the way that they have this little JavaScript working, so it changes on the menu, the little arrow changes as you go from from picture to giant picture to giant picture.
I'm not saying it's not bad, good looking. It's good.
It's very modern.
It's gigantic. It's not like you could scrub through and see what's going on.
I don't find it. I think there's a lot of this stuff that's coming out now because these JavaScript guys are coming out of the woodwork. This is all, you know, this new programming stylists. My son is one of them.
There's only 10 stories on the whole front page.
Yeah, I know, and it's just it's very gimmicky, and
it looks like it's only one story on the whole page. I can't take it. Anyway, let's think what else here. Apple. Okay, so I told you about that. If anybody does know some workarounds on the iPhone to get the Gmail working right, that would be really good, because it's not working and my friend is freaking out. Just send it over to me. Alibaba.
When are you going to get an iPhone?
You know what? I was thinking about, with this experience here, I was thinking about getting the iPhone 5. But I don't have the push, so that's not a problem for me. I looked to get one recently. It was like a 35-day wait, and I said, forget about it.
Yeah, what's the point?
4 works well, but...
Alibaba.
Comes out at 68. That was the price it was placed at on the IPO. I told you, I think, that we knew it was going to be thin. It wasn't going to be a big offering. They did increase the allotment. It opened up at the 84, 85 level, somewhere around there. Went as high as about 99.70 at the first day of trading, and then it kind of backed off after that. Now it's at 87.17. So whoever hit, maybe somebody's out there listening. Did you get the 99.70 tick? I don't know. But that's about $12 lower. That's about a 13% loss already on Alibaba if you hit the top tick where it is now. One of the things is this.
The likelihood of hitting that is nil.
Yeah, this somebody did. This Jack Ma. Jack Ma? Jack Ma is his name?
Jack Ma.
Jack Ma. He, little fella. He is all for like putting employees first and making sure the company is doing right and then putting shareholders last. And that's what he said recently in an interview. I don't think that is helping his case to bring the stock price higher. have you ever gone on the Alibaba site or know anybody that uses it and you remember?
Yeah.
So what's the deal? You can buy in multiple quantities. That's what it is. You have to buy like large amounts of things.
You can get samples on some, from some companies.
So if I want like a outdoor,
they never respond. As far as I'm concerned, that whole, I mean, I went there looking for specific things to say, oh, maybe I could sell these things. And you get a hold of a couple of companies. They don't speak English and they won't sell you a sample and they won't do anything. And then you don't hear from them again. And it's just it's a big joke.
I'm just going to sign up for the heck of it and see what the story is. But what's interesting about this is, remember we talked about Yahoo. Yahoo, SoftBank, a few other companies have very large stakes in Alibaba. And Alibaba was, I think, the largest IPO ever, $231 billion market value on the deal, on the company itself. Now, Yahoo, from what I've been reading, that if you calculate the valuation of Alibaba and you look at the valuation of the capitalization rate of Yahoo, Alibaba's stake is most of the value of the entirety of what Yahoo is worth these days.
Yeah, it's more of an investment company nowadays.
Right. So if you could strip out Yahoo, just take it out, just separate it, Yahoo's like not worth anything. So there's two sides of this. Does that mean that, hey, wait a minute, if really somebody comes to the fore and says, hey, you know what, Yahoo is worth, let's even say $10 a share, okay, then we have to add it to the valuation of what Alibaba is, then what, this is a screaming buy. On the other hand, you may say, the only reason Yahoo was valued where it was, and it hasn't sunk to the bottom of the barrel, was because everybody was waiting for the Alibaba to come out. And once the Alibaba came out, you unlocked the valuation. And now who the hell needs it again? You know, now you don't even need Yahoo. So that could be what's going on. And this is what why I shorted Yahoo. It's possible that there's going to be a lot of spin from Yahoo to Alibaba now that you have the active and security out there that you can actually trade. What do you think about that?
No, I thought that's what we assumed all along.
Yeah, but I just wonder what's going to happen to Yahoo at this point. I mean, is Yahoo going to sink down to I don't even know what? I mean,
well, are they selling off their Alibaba share?
Well, yes, I think they're going to sell off some of that, but I don't.
Well, they're just going to use it for cash flow purposes. Well, that's fine. They got plenty. They can take it. Be 10 years before they get rid of all of it.
Market cap is only $38 billion. $38 billion is the market cap of Yahoo.
Yeah, which is too high. Except for the ownership of Alibaba.
Yahoo could be bought by Alibaba Group Holding. Huh? They're talking about that being bought. Why would they buy that? That doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting that, I wonder if there's going to be a major sell-off. So we'll talk about when we get to the stocks.
They'd buy it to get back some of those shares of their...
Possibly. And then they can get the valuation and all the properties of Yahoo, I assume. I haven't been on Yahoo in a while. How's that site doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I never go there.
Never go there. What a sad situation. They have some big pictures, but not as big. The big story, Arnold Schwarzenegger romances Heather Milligan at German Oktoberfest. That's and something about an avocado. On the front page of Yahoo.
Oh.
That's it.
I never even heard that story breaking.
Yep. All right, let's see what else we got here. Well, you know, one of the big things that has been fueling speculation in companies is the fact that there's going to be a lot of merger and acquisition. And then we've seen a lot of that, and particularly in the area of healthcare, biotech. One of the reasons is because of this inversion where you buy a company that's outside the U.S. and you let that company be the valuation of the total company, or the company outside the U.S. buys you, and now you no longer have to pay taxes in the U.S. Now, the government in the U.S. got wind of this and because there was so much of this going on, and they kind of got rather pissed. So now the Obama administration Tuesday put out a sweeping effort at cracking down on tax benefits of cross-Atlantic mergers, particularly this was in Europe. So now this is going to be for any deals that are not consummated as of yet. So now what will happen is now there's also going to be a wrinkle in this whole idea of all these takeovers that are going on. Now we'll see if there's any teeth in what the White House does, because usually there isn't, right?
Yeah, that's usually bluff.
Yeah, so we'll see. Let's see. It says it's unveiled a sweeping effort, not a law, effort. So I don't know if that's really going to play. But the bottom line is that at least they're noticing it. And this is going to another point of the markets of what has been really so exciting about it has been the potential for mergers, acquisitions, and that usually brings the price up. I mean, if a company could save, I don't know, $50, $100 million in taxes over a period of a few years, think about the fact that, you know what, that's a worthwhile venture. Maybe they'll, you know, sell at a price that is worth selling at this point, and then you can really do well at, you know, keeping costs down and really bringing up your earnings. So this is something that you have to watch, and we'll see what happens within the
area. Well, is there any way of identifying the possible candidates for these sorts of mergers and acquisitions? Is there some sort of a newsletter that watches these things, or
I think so.
Tabs on this? There's got to be something.
Inversion candidates. Let's look at that. Inversion candidates. Okay, so shares of all these, a lot of the biotech companies. This is off of Reuters right now. Burger King, Tim Horton deal to move. This is why this moved down. Pfizer was possibly going to bid for AstraZeneca, but that may not be the case anymore. So that actually, AstraZeneca was down pretty good today, about 5 or 6% on that. More than a half a dozen other companies, so their shares fall.
So AstraZeneca went down because that deal wasn't consummated?
Well, because, yeah, they were talking about it. Somebody was thinking about it. It would be a good idea, but it never happened.
Huh. Well, that to me indicates that AstraZeneca might not be a bad idea to go in on, because the due diligence on them being a good candidate for inversion has already been done. They just couldn't do the deal for whatever reason.
Right. Here's the companies. Abbott Labs, Covidien, Medtronic, Mylan, these are all biotechs.
Yeah, but these are all American companies looking for a partner.
Right, but if these companies got taken over, these are the candidates, the potential candidates. But
would they be the ones that get, okay, I thought the way it worked, yeah, I thought it was a merger. I thought that you.
It could be a merger, it could be a buy, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
A foreign company, and then I gave them the reins of control.
Right. Let's see if there's anybody else here. I mean, if you look at any of the big major companies that have similar companies overseas, I mean, there's not that many. A lot of the biotechs have it. But so that's going to be an interesting situation here. Let's see. So you have any Cree LED light bulbs?
Oh, yeah.
I bought some because they have like this big warranty and all that. And I said they have this long lifespan and all. So I bought one. I put three of them outside in the outdoor lights of my house. And 3 days later, one of them is out already.
Huh.
Gone. Out. And I checked if it was the actual fixture. No, it was the light. So I wrote Cree. I'm like, what is the deal? Oh, just bring it back to a Home Depot or just send to us and we'll send you a new one. No problem. 10-year warranty. Went to Home Depot. I said, hey, my Cree light bulb doesn't work. Let's go get another one. Okay. That's pretty good. Have any of yours gone out?
No.
Yeah.
The ones that have gone out, I went through a process using Amazon. They have a bunch of LED providers at different companies. And there's a kind of an LED light called a corn cob that I kind of liked. Very attractive in an open, in a fixture that has where you see the bulb, because they're just these little squares of LEDs. And I bought a couple of those from some, God knows, fly-by-night operation in China. And they all fell apart. They literally fell apart.
God.
The things are hanging. One of them became a beautiful work of art.
Oh, it didn't melt. It just fell apart.
No, because it's a corn cob. It's like a plastic holder, and it's got all these LEDs on the outside. But they're all wired together, and if the thing just crumbles and falls apart, all these wires hang down, each one of them having different lengths. Each one has a little square LED. Mm-hmm. So when they're hanging like that, it's actually very artsy. They could sell that probably for more money. The rest of them, I've had good luck with it. They've never burned out. If they work at all, they just unless they're those cheap ones from China. They're a great product. I changed my porch light to a yellow LED bulb about 8 years ago. I spent the extra money. And this thing has been, otherwise I was putting in a new porch light, you know, those yellow bug bulbs. Those things burn out left and right. And I mean, they go 6 months because it's on 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out a lot. And this thing just never stops. It's just unbelievable. This LED thing is going to have some impact. It's going to be a major impact. I'm not sure what that means to investors.
Well, you can buy a couple. There's a couple of these companies like Cree.
Cree. Well, we tried. We played with Cree on our on our stock list. I like Cree.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the other one was. There's a couple other of these companies.
Well, Cree is the most aggressive. They actually have TV ads.
Right. Cree. Let's see what this is. This
is stock price. Cree. But and people have, if they're going to go buy LEDs, make sure you get the ones with the more efficient ones that have a. And you figure it out for yourself, but it's lumens per watt, and you want a high number. I think it's like the same number of lumens. You should get a minimum of the same number of lumens for at divide the lumens in a incandescent bulb, divide the wattage by five. That should be the minimum that you put up with an LED.
See, so I got a 500 lumen. So it's 100 watt? I mean, something like that? Is it really that much? Because I thought it was only an equivalent of a 40
watt. Well, I don't know. What's a 500 lumen equivalent to? I don't think it's 100 watts.
Well, you just said divide it by 5, for goodness sakes.
No, no, you divide the watts by 5. So if you have a 100 watt bulb and you divide it by 5, you get a 20 watt LED. That would be the absolute minimum you want for the equivalency of lumens of a 100 watt bulb. And I don't know what that is offhand.
Lumen calculator. Such a thing? Yeah, there is. Watts to lumen conversion calculator.
Yeah, how many lumens on a 100 watt bulb?
Enter the power in watts, 100. Enter the lighting source. Incandescent bulb, I guess?
Yeah.
15.
What?
It's 15. Let's see. Lumen flux result in lumens. Enter luminosity. So it's 1500.
15. Yeah, 1500. Okay. So if you to get 1500 lumens off of an LED, I think it's going to cost you like 10 to 20 watts.
All right. So if I want to do a 40 watt bulb, calculate 600 lumens. Yeah, that's what I got. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what you got.
Yep.
Yeah, that's too low. I refuse to deal with those low lumens. Now, the other thing you want to know is there's two kinds of LEDs. Just ultimately there's any color you want, but there's two basic colors, and it's usually the Kelvin that you want to look at. You want to look at, try to get Kelvin around 32, maybe 3400.
Right.
Because when you go, then that is, the LED business in the professional community, they have two kinds of lights. One's called daylight and one's called tungsten. And the tungsten lights, which are we are used to looking at in the houses inside the house, is around 3400 Kelvin, I believe.
Right.
And then daylight's like up there. It's like over 4,000.
Yeah, 5,000. Sure. Let me make a correction. A 9-watt LED lamp is a 540 luminous flux. So a 9-watt equals a 540. That's what I have. So okay. This is equivalent of, I think, 60 watts.
Okay. You want to get that lower.
Lower?
Over time, keep looking for lower. You can get the same lumens with less and less and less watts on LEDs. Wow. The new super LEDs, they're unbelievable.
It's only 99 watts, the equivalent of 60 watts.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It'll get lower.
Is that going to really affect my...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. If you put enough of them in, it'll
I
make
put LEDs huge... in the hi-hats across the whole house.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be shocked.
Maybe they owe me money. How great. Well, we saw some...
I just wanted a last tip. Just
LED tips is important.
Yeah, LED, get the tungsten color. It's much nicer. The other one makes it a horrible...
I like the daylight.
No. Inside a house at night, it's too blue.
It is a little blue. I'll give you that. Anyway, a couple of things here. Some high-flying retailers are not doing as well. Kors, Kate Spade... I don't know what that's saying, but if you look at the charts, of course, I think it went from like 90 to 70, not too far along. Kate Spade, there was an announcement, or there was some story yesterday that a bunch of sales going on at a bunch of websites, and there's a concern there's oversupply. I don't know if that says anything. I know spending is down, generally speaking. Costs are rising a little bit for some of these companies. We'll see what happens. I did want to ask you, though, about what do you make of this whole abrupt departure by Larry Ellison? Just was like, hello, I'm leaving. Thank you. What? Like, hello? Okay. Where are you going? That was a little weird, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, you follow the whole, the whole tech area. What's the story?
Sick or something.
Sounds like it, right?
Yeah. No, you see guys quit like that. It's like when Andy Rooney quit 60 Minutes. Why? What else did he got to do with his time? And then he was dead 6 months later.
Oh, well, was it a cause and effect?
No. He had something, and it was He had some cancer or I don't know what was wrong with him, but he had something wrong with him, and then he took stopped doing his work, and then he died. And this, and he's old. It was older, of course. And Ellison's he's what, 70 something. How old is he?
Larry Ellison. Age, I'm crazy with this here, is born in 44, so he's 70 years old.
Yeah, he's 70 on the money. And either that or he just said, look, I'm 70. I try to get worth more money than Bill Gates. I can't do it. I quit.
I think that's good. Could it be? That sounds more appropriate.
But he's, and he's still going to be kind of working there. If he quits the board, then I'd be very suspicious.
What is his net worth?
I think it's $46 billion.
Nothing wrong with that. Maybe he's just trying to go off on the top when the whole don't forget they're a big part of the cloud. He's worth $49.2 billion.
Up from 46.
Yeah, he also was paid about $67 million when he stepped down.
Yeah, he gets paid a lot.
He's worth $46 billion. Do you think he said, keep the money? Keep the 67 million. What is 67 million going to do?
Give it to the kids.
Ridiculous. These numbers are getting out of control. All right. Listen, now, there was more here that I thought was really kind of cool. A lot of things going on here. Okay. Now, remember my whole rant on hipsters?
Oh, yeah.
So there I was on Friday up at UCF, and this guy says to me, hey,
UCF, University of Central Florida.
Yeah. He said, hey, it was at Walmart. He says, you want a free UCF shirt? I'm like, okay. So I get the UCF shirt, and on the back it says Pabst Blue Ribbon. I said, I don't want it. I gave it back, okay?
But then it say on the back?
It said Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And remember, Pabst Blue Ribbon is the hipster beer.
Yes, the hipster beer.
Now, if you remember what hipsters embody, which I'm not sure if it's anything, but the whole idea of, kind of just leave us alone and, we're our own thing. And well, but on the same time, they all do the same thing, which is kind of weird. But Pabst last week was sold to a Russian firm.
Oh, this I missed this.
Yeah. So now I'm starting to wonder, what is that going to do? If hipsters don't care about anything and, they're going to care about something like this? This seems like this is anti-hipster. They're supposed to be like the 1950s kind of blue collar, I'm not going to put up with the whole financial stuff. I'm not going to put up with the government. And now that, how do you think they're going to react to this?
I don't think any of them will even notice.
Sold to a Russian firm in the middle of all of this, the beer of the blue collar 1950s, 60s is being sold to a Russian firm. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, the Russian firm is going to have to be careful. They don't mess with the formula.
Well, how much worse can it get?
That's what I mean. I think it has to stay worse.
Anyway. So I put together, just to mention, go back to what we talked about the dollar moving up and the yen moving down, the euro moving down. I put together a list of stocks that have a lot of their geographic revenues from both emerging Europe and Europe and Asia. To find out who are the ones that had the biggest amount, right? Where is all that coming from? Because they could have problems in the export area. So we have names like Eastman Chemical, 22.5% of their revenues from Europe, 26 from Asia. So it's more than half total is outside the U.S. DuPont, JDS Uniphase, Autodesk, Philip Morris, IBM, McDonald's, NCR, Apple, Intel. Apple, Intel, I don't really... Actually, about 90% of Intel is outside of U.S., but that's because they get parts to sell back to the U.S., so I'm not going to consider that one. 3D Systems, Caterpillar is a big one. So don't forget, they have a lot of competition. And if you looked at the Caterpillar stock recently, finally somebody realized, oh, you know what, maybe there's something to this whole thing, when they're in competition with the other companies that will get a lot more benefit if it's a 7% benefit. Caterpillar finished just a smidgen under $100 per share today. And if you look at them year to date, They started out this year at about 90. Let's see, year to date, they're up 10%, but they went as high as 110, 115, 110 at one point, and now they're rolling down. And I think that is the big thing there is all about the fact that the earnings are going to be really a problem and headwinds due to the dollar. So it's probably about 10 different names on there. How's IBM doing? I haven't even looked at that lately.
Caterpillar, my thing is $99.99.
Now, IBM is still at 191 after that crap number. Oh, unbelievable. And what else is... Oh, McDonald's also having a lot of problems. Problems are more so dealing with their whole menu and all that. I was in McDonald's last week because I want to stop it to go to the bathroom.
How about them maybe making a better product?
That would be good. They have a Bundt cake they sell, a mini Bundt.
What?
A mini Bundt, like the McBundt cake.
The McBundt cake?
Yeah. Yum is down 5% after hours. I wonder what happened there. Oh, the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese Americans say the Yum brand's logo includes a symbol of communism.
And that makes the stock go down?
I don't think that's what it was. I'm trying to see what the news was here. Let's do a date. I don't see anything that... I don't know why the stock was down 5%. I don't see McDonald's. They may have come out with same-store sales. They do that quite often. McDonald's was... No, nothing. I don't know. Down 5%. Let's see. Hollywood stars are now taking to the microphone about climate change. Again, here we go. Leonardo DiCaprio spoke at the UN... And Matt Damon at the Clinton hoo-ha that was going on?
Yeah. That's what I want to hear from. I want to hear from those climate change experts, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, whoever the other one was. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep. Ebola. Now, what is the story with Ebola? I thought we kind of had a cure of some sort, and now all of a sudden there's an outbreak that is estimated to be by upwards of 1.4 million people by January?
Yeah, I think that's exaggerated.
That's a lot of people. Even if it's 800,000, I mean, usually doesn't Ebola hit like 100?
Well, it's because it tends to be in isolated areas. It's endemic to a certain kind of bat, or the bat caught it from somewhere. And
it's from a bat? Is that what it is?
Well, there's a bat that has Ebola in it, and it seems immune to the virus, and it carries it for some unknown reason.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes somebody gets bit or something, I guess. They get Ebola and they pass it on to everybody in the neighborhood. And then after everyone's dead, it stops. Another bat comes along.
Oh, bad bats. I put a couple of attachments talking about gold and silver with the notes here. And you look at silver. Silver's been an ugly downturn for the last...
Silver's looking good.
It's looking like it could possibly see a nice reversal here. And you notice when you see these big reversals like we see right now, see that with the, you notice that that weekly bar that you're looking at right there? See, there's a small amount of red and there's a long wick below it. Looks like,
yeah.
Those kind of, if you look at those across and you see a really long lower wick,
right?
And then that's a reversal because it went down and came all the way back up. That's often a sign of, you know, when it can, both sides of this, when it could possibly see a turnaround. So there is something possibly happening there. Gold, this is on a weekly also, had a little bit of a wick, nothing major. But it is hitting a long-term support. Maybe 1,200 could be the absolute support here. But we saw this back in July of 2013, the beginning of this year. And I think this is when – I think the downturn happened when Goldman switched and took off their bearish expectation for gold. It's kind of funny. Goldman oftentimes hits it just
– So they took that off?
And I don't know. I mean, they haven't been shouting about it that often. They were really negative about it in the beginning of the year. Nothing happened. I think they must have taken it off. They went very bullish on stocks a number of weeks ago when things started to roll over a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Now's the time to get in at the top.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's the most expensive apartment in the United States is about to make a listing. It is a new construction. 12,394 square foot. It's a three story penthouse at 520 Park Avenue.
Yeah, I think 520. I think there is a bunch of videos and stuff online that are part of the sales pitch. They have very high end salespeople that are selling this 520 Park Avenue, whatever it is. There was a special, I think, on one of the news magazines about it. and they took somebody through it. It's pretty it's dynamite place. A little high though for my, a little rich for my blood.
Well, it's going for $130 million, this particular apartment.
Yeah, it seems high.
And I think the lowest price is like, I don't know, $70 million. Some
the
ridiculous
little
price.
Ones.
Yeah, the small, the yeah, little the, ones. The babies.
Yeah. Well, you'll be living with a bunch of people that are probably either sheikhs from the Middle East, mm-hmm. or criminals, very high-end criminals.
Well, that haven't been caught yet.
Bankers. Well, that would be the same thing,
yeah,
I guess.
That's
bankers. And it'd be interesting group. I think I'd avoid it.
Actually, going to start at $50 million. Oh, I was off a little bit.
Oh, $50 million. Yeah, I didn't know it was that low. Is that cheap? I would think twice.
Yeah. Where do they have a website?
I believe they do.
520 on
Park. Something like 520. Just type in 520 Park into Google, and you'll probably find it.
At New York Curbed. It's New York Curbed. Now I'm just Tipster. No, that's not it here.
That's around. Yeah. You probably have to have an invitation.
Yeah. It's not like this.
They make these. You know, they add all these crazy. You know, this to sell high end stuff is an art.
520 Park. Look at them. That's Baltimore. New York Curb, the real deal. Facebook. They have a Facebook page. It looks like. New Tower to Joy, Billionaires Row, Business Insider, Wall Street Journal. But Wall Street Journal won't really see anything probably. Nothing here. Nothing here. Zeckendorf Project on East 60th. Upper East Side. Very nice. Although the building will be a Park Avenue, now used by a church. Ah. Then it'll be located a few downtown from Park on East. No, it's
right.
The
there
park.
Was a big controversy over
park.
This place because the church, this was either church land or the church. There's something about it. The church was making a fuss about this thing, and I guess they got bought off.
Yeah, well, that can happen easily. Zeckendorf, NewJersey.com. Oh, whatever, it's not here. All right, and a couple of things. Starting next week, Stocktoberfest is happening over on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. We do it every year. And we're going to be talking about stocks that people send us and give you all sorts of nice goodies on that. And finally, Butterfly Labs, a company that allegedly charged customers thousands of dollars for computers that said would enable them to accrue Bitcoin virtual currency, was shut down by a U.S. court. Why is there so much shenanigans with this Bitcoin? Is that the point, though? I guess that's the whole point, right? It's for shenanigans by shenanigans.
I don't know. It just looks like a scam to me. So maybe somebody else sees it that way, too.
Yeah. PayPal announced further integration with Bitcoin today. Bitcoin's at like 450.
Oh, it's down?
Yeah, I think it's at 450.
Huh. I thought it was going to settle in around 650.
Bitcoin price.
How can people do business with some currency that fluctuates like
437.
That? Huh.
One equals 437. It was PayPal partnership, but it, yeah, it's, yeah, whatever. All right, let's talk about some of the stocks we got. What do you think?
Yeah.
We had a few stocks that were actually taken off the list this week. And by the way, this is a game that we play where we come up with some sometimes crazy, but sometimes some interesting ideas on what stocks may do well from some of the things we're looking at, some of the things we're seeing. And basically, this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. You should use good financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horace Comte clients may own any of these. And so bottom line is that, you know, if you like what we say, great. Just get some research and do it on your own. All right. So let me update this here. It's not working. Nugget. Huh. Wonder why that's not working. Anyway, this is what we have. A couple things stopped out. Umpqua was stopped out for a little bit of a loss, about 1%. Vertex was finally stopped out. Short that just kept on going up, down 8% on that. And Southern Copper. Are these all yours? No, so that was mine. So, oh, that was yours. Was mine or yours?
Which one?
Southern Copper at 827. No.
I think that was mine.
Let me see here. I don't know.
Yeah, it says insider buying. You never do that.
Yeah, but I thought I had it, and then you were going to do it, and we didn't. Whatever. Okay. But here we
whatever.
Go. We're starting to, the list is thinning out a little bit. We had some winners that were taken off as well last week. If you remember, we had Sarepta up 2.5%, El Paso, which we made 24.5%. Still, Acorn, I have to look at that, see if it stopped out. I don't think it did, up 33%. Bank of California up 12%. Zotys finally making some move. Maybe that's due to some of the inversion stuff, up 9%. Twitter, we're up 1.29% on, finally hit that place to short it. at 52.85. Scientific Games still just doing really well at 36%. That's a big one. And the most recent, we shorted Pollo, El Pollo Loco last week, up 6%, and Yahoo short up almost 8%. So I have a pick.
I don't have one. Uh-oh. I don't think. I'm looking, but you know, I was looking for a while. I couldn't come up with anything that was.
And by the way, I had some people that wrote me, and they want to know, where does John get those insider things from? And I said Insider Monkey, Yahoo, a few other places. You want to?
They're all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I'm just telling you. What do you want to give any information out on that?
No, I'm good.
Oh. Standing pat on the secrecy, keeping the secret sauce recipe. So I thought that with the potential for a move in gold, and maybe it's a kind of moving towards finally stabilizing a bit, it's possible that some of the stocks in the mining area, gold, silver mining, will stabilize. If you haven't looked at this lately, if you look at, for example, GDX, symbol GDX, gold miners, and if you look
at GDX, a famous one.
Yeah. So this, if you take a look at this. It was as high as, let's take a look at this, GDX, which is comprises all the gold miners and things like that. Year to date, it was as high as, year to date, it's up, and it's actually up 6% this year. That's interesting. The last 6 months, it's down about 12%. Last 3 months, it's down 15%. Last 1 month, it's down 13.5%. Well, there's a triple ETF that actually trades and that could be something that could do well. Year to date, this is down 8%, 6 months down 39%, 3 months down 40%, 1 month down 37%, 5 days down 18%. And I thought, you know what, with gold possibly starting to level out a little bit, maybe the gold miners will get a bid. Maybe. Now, we did this once before, right? Made a nice little take on it. So
right.
I'm putting that in there. I'm putting NUGT, which is the long 3x ETF that goes for gold miners. And it's basically the gold index like GDX, which is essentially the index there. The market vectors, gold miners, all the gold miners inside of there. But
okay.
You still have none?
Well, you know, I was also looking at this thing. I was looking at this, but I don't like it because it's kind of cheap.
Mm.
But when you... Generally speaking, some guy invests $1 million or a couple million in some company. You can look at it as, so what? But this one, this guy drops $18 million on, but see, the problem is it's a penny stock. Now, anyone who buys $18 million on a penny stock, you know, is going to be affecting the price anyway. But it is China Recycling Energy Corporation, which has been on just slamming. It's gone from like a high just recently in April of just spiked at 6 with one of those upside wicks, and then it went down to $1.21. And I don't know why this guy's buying it.
Let's see here.
Look at the chart.
Well,
on this.
One of the things could be that the pollution in China is just ridiculous. What do these guys do? Let's see. Recycling, well, okay, providing energy savings and recycling products. Companies available waste product projects. It's a wholly owned subsidiary. Companies have a waste-to-energy portfolio with the acquisition of a 12-megawatt biomass power generation system. I know some people that are doing this stuff. This is cool. These are cool, these things. This uses biomass and it creates ethanol.
Oh, they make ethanol from it. Well, for the problem is, of course, it's Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows if they, you know, real company, it could be all a bunch of nice images on a website for all you know. Price earnings is only 390. Looking at the, they do have earnings. And it seems to have increased. And the stock is down to $1.21. Well, if we go into 15%, I'm looking at, If we do a hard stop at a dollar, can we do that instead of percentages?
You can do whatever you want. Let me just put this. What is it?
Yeah, I know, but then I can't. I have to have a. No, let's do that. Let's see. What is 20? That's 20%. That's 20%. It would be a dollar if it lost 20%. It would lose 12, and so it would lose 24. If we lose, okay, 15's fine. Let's just go with the 15. That takes it to a buck.
It's up. So it's up 6% after hours. Also, interesting. Oh.
What's it up to?
128.
Jeez. Okay. Well, let's get it.
Yeah, what is Chegg?
With the 15% stop.
What was that symbol? Chegg. Craig. C R E G.
Craig. C R E G.
C R E G. That's a lot of money. $18 million on a little puppy like that, right?
Yeah, it means he bought 18 million shares, more or less. Well, 17.
Let's put that in here. Loading. It's in there. Okay, we're buying it. 15% stock. Insiders. And 15% stop. This is that. This is that. Okay.
Could be a 10-bagger.
It could be unbelievable. This could be the deal of a lifetime. You don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was five already this year.
Yeah. Good.
And then also, KBH is coming out with earnings tomorrow. KB Homes. And it's a very highly shorted stock. Let's see here. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of anticipation going into this. That, hey, you know what? This could be good. And the potential for this. And Lennar came out good. Although D.R. Horton was awful. You look at NVR. That stock's at $1,100.
That's NBR. Another, what is NBR?
NVRV. It's
NVR.
Yeah. It's a home builder. Construction, single-family homes, detached townhomes, condominiums. But I remember, if I'm not mistaken, this thing went down to, let's see here, 08. Well, it was like nothing. This stock just keeps going. I guess they don't split. This stock was down to like 330 back at the bottom, which was pretty bad, but not that bad. And now it's at 1150. Pretty impressive. Okay. Pretty interesting.
What's it look? What is it? Let me look at this thing.
$4.5 billion company. Institutionals own 85% of it. Earnings per share 59. PE of 19. Doesn't trade a lot because it's so expensive. Volume's 20,000.
The time to have bought this stock apparently was in the
99.
No, actually, before that, if you could have gotten it between 1990 and 1994, you'd have picked it up for what appears to be around $10, $20.
Yeah, but the thing is, probably because they haven't split, the other companies have split.
So, well, you know, maybe. Whatever the case, I don't think that this sort of hindsight is useless.
Yeah, I'm going to put, just for the crack of it and the fun of it, I'm going to put KBH on there as well, short.
Oh,
they're coming out with earnings. They're going to be out after market. So, you know, if it does well, it's going to pop. Let's put in KBH. I think it's KBH. KB Homes. Yep. Shorten that. And we'll say earnings. Earnings. And slow homes. Okay. I don't own that one, but I think
I'll tell you, the apartment building going on in San Francisco is outrageous.
Yeah.
It's good to be. So I don't know how to isolate any of this in the.
Who's building? Who's
everybody?
I got to tell you something though. Doesn't that, you know, after a while, doesn't the incredible building of the apartments have an effect on single family?
Yeah,
I mean, you would think it should. I don't know. It seems to me that it gets a little bit crazy with the fact that there's just so much, you know, overhead and so much excess. But anyway, all right, that's going to be a wrap. I'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
And may the force be with you.
Ah, adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.